Davy Crockett told him back east, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas." Here's a guy that thinks Davy got it right. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, corruption of medical science surges on. From Dr. Mary Bowden's troubles in Houston and her new lawsuit filed this weekend against Houston Methodist, to that own city and county, that same city and county's declaring monkeypox some kind of emergency, which it's not, to Wu Flu and all the rest of it. And this all stems from a fabulous essay written by our friend, historian, and noted science writer, Bob Zimmerman at BehindTheBlack.com. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for businesses and institutions and truckers and fleet owners. Allied Compliance Services is your go-to source for being your third-party administrator and doing your DOT tests and keeping up with that clearinghouse. AlliedCompliance.com. There's a mixed bag of Texas economic performance out there, some reports, a mixed bag on the economics performance reports, and rare good news out of the Texas House GOP caucus. I'm loaded up, folks, and there's no way I'm going to be able to get through even a quarter of the stack. Thank you to Matt Crowe for agreeing to have this focused interview yesterday with us on the Rob report, the report on the Rob Elementary massacre in Uvalde. There's more news out in the Uvalde stack as well today. Thank you for taking the time, Matt Crowe, to visit with us yesterday. Of course, doing a full dedicated show like that precluded headlines. So I've got a lot in the stack. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and our long-form interviews at prideontexas.com. It is, as always, a great day to be a Texan. Some rare good news out of the House GOP caucus down in Austin. Yes, as a matter of fact, the leadership team had tried to intimidate conservatives and more independent-minded members from, and by the way, unlike some, I don't think this is so out of line. I think it's pretty much the norm of what you'd expect in a caucus, but trying to get to punish them for opposing other Republicans back during the primary elections. Well, that fell flat, my friends. The House Caucus Executive Committee was pursuing a censure of State Reps Jeff Kasin of Bedford, Ben Lehman of Anderson, and Steve Toth of the Woodlands for violating bylaws of the caucus by supporting candidates in primary campaigns against other incumbents. But remember, we had redistricting. That really muddies the water on this. I mean, who's really an incumbent? And you get people paired or other people. It doesn't matter. But the executive committee's Representative Murphy of Houston, Vice Chair Tom Oliverson of Cypress, Craig Goldman of Fort Worth, and Candy Noble of Lucas. One of these involved you folks at Representative Glenn Rogers, who's not a conservative in any way, out of Mineral Wells. Kasin, for example, donated to Mike Olcott, who I endorsed as well in that, $2,000 to him. And you had things like this going on around the state. Well, the caucus over the weekend took a vote of the members. No, they didn't all fly to Austin. They used anonymous digital voting, I mean, online or somehow like that, and it failed. None of the three members were formally censured, which I think doesn't necessarily say the caucus thinks it's okay for other caucus members to go after incumbents. I think the incumbents that were gone after, at most everybody, so many in the caucus know those are people who aren't really Republicans, and it's just good news for what's good news out of Abilene ISD. It's not been a source of good news over the years, one problem after another. I was glad to see the school board voted. They reported in at KRBC that the school board voted to change the cell phone, mobile device policy for students. I can't believe these people can have this stuff in their pockets and I know how interruptive these things are, and 7-0 unanimous vote to change the policy that you can't have the cell phone in elementary and middle school, even on your person. They must be turned off in a backpack or at a designated location, and then they're up in the retrieval fee to the first offense and all kinds of stuff, and I think that's wise. I don't know how in the world you could teach class with that. They talked to one teacher. She said, oh, yeah, even though they're down in the pocket, you hear the buzz, and the students are always trying to – people are addicted to these. It's an immediate response mechanism, and this has got to be stopped. I don't know how you could teach class with all that stuff going on. Texas Department of Public Safety has added two fugitives to the 10 most wanted lists, one on the most wanted fugitives list, and that's a guy out of Lubbock named Tanner Cole Lerman, L-E-R-M-O-N, and then out of Dallas, Blaine Brandon McReynolds to the most wanted sex offender list. Reynolds, 57 years old, has been convicted of child pornography and sentenced and was convicted again of assault of a child while he was, I guess, out on parole or something. 15-year sentence, was released on parole in 2017. He's 5'8", 180 pounds. They think he's in McReynolds. It's somewhere in the Dallas area. Tanner Cole Lerman is only 21 years old. They say he's affiliated with the Crips gang. He's been wanted since November of 2021 when the Lubbock County Sheriff's Office issued a warrant for his arrest. And he was arrested in Hudspeth County, so in Fort Worth, West Texas. And he's a 5'11", 155 pounds, very skinny. And what good's it tell tattoos anymore? So many people have tattoos, you know? Used to be really meaningful. They all have tattoos. Every one of these things I ever read, they got tattoos here, there, and everywhere. So, doesn't say much, but his name is, if you know him, Tanner Cole Lerman in Lubbock, or any of them, either of these people, up to $5,000 in cash reward for information leading to their arrest. From DPS, or Crime Stoppers, managed out of the governor's office, I think that's what it's called. I can't remember. Texas Crime Stoppers. At least 9 homes were destroyed in the Balch Springs grass fire, possibly another dozen damaged, they tell us, out of Dallas-Fort Worth. As of this morning, the Balch Springs neighborhood, Monday afternoon, the fire yesterday afternoon destroyed at least 9 homes. This morning, hot spots that burned overnight still remained. Down power lines presented problem with getting in and out. Fire, they think, started when workers were mowing a field and struck debris, and it sparked off I-20 and South Beltline Road, spread to the neighborhood, burned fences, and spread to homes. Fire Marshal Sean Davis said that the fire crew responded with their one and only brush truck. They only have 8 firefighters working during the day, and they got assistance from a lot of folks. There was good winds to spread it as well. Chief Neal said 26 homes were damaged, 9 of which were deemed a total loss. No injuries, thank God. And, of course, in Sweetwater over the weekend, had the big fire on Saturday night down on 100 block of West Broadway Street. Down power lines and other factors led to a delay in fighting the fire. A lot of people lost power at 100-degree temperature. It began next to Sweetwater Collision, an auto body shop. Blew up a transformer, put the power out for lots of folks in Sweetwater. Michael Phillips, the owner of that business, I feel so bad for him. He said he's worked for the past 17 years for this. He's lost everything. Said it was my life. It was everything I had, and it's just a terrible situation. That's, I guess, why we buy insurance, but that doesn't much help the overall issue there. And a really terrible story out of New Mexico up in the grounds around the church camp, Camp Blue Haven, a couple out of Hale Center, Plainview area, 84-year-old Betty Greenhall from Cotton Center, and Jane Cummins from Hale Center, 62, and have been found dead in Tecolote Creek in this flash flood and the burn scar from the big Hermit's Peak fire. And I believe that Mr. Cummings, I believe, is still missing as well, 62-year-old Chris Cummings. Terrible story there. You have to take these flash flood warnings, especially in those kind of situations, absolutely take them to heart and be very aware. Back in a moment.
It's the talk of Texas. Pratt on Texas.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Now, here's a man that carries his own traveling soapbox. Pratt on Texas continues.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. More headlines out there. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld an earlier ruling that the governor does have the right through his executive orders in Texas to block school districts from imposing mask mandates on children. And it's an interesting ruling, 2-1 ruling. They talk a lot about options for accommodation, and it's, quote, it's plainly within the state's power to remove one possible accommodation from consideration so long as other reasonable options remain. And that's what the judges in the Fifth Circuit said, that there are a lot of other things you can do to mitigate spread of disease. It's all pretty silly, given that kids don't really have much of a problem with any of the COVID strains. You heard all about it yesterday, of course, the woman that went into Dallas Love Field. We've learned a little more about that. She was yelling about her marriage and her husband cheating on her and stuff. And her name was, she's 37 years old. Her name was Portia Odufuwa, O-D-U-F-U-W-A, went up in there near the ticket counters and then started shooting into the ceiling. And, of course, a good guy with a gun, wearing a badge in this case, put a stop to that. They shot her in the, quote, lower extremities, and she was taken to Parkland Hospital in unknown condition. This happened late yesterday morning, and it just points out that the things can happen anytime. What was interesting, she went to the airport, then went in the restroom for a while. I'm sure they determined from camera work that then she emerges wearing different clothes and include a hoodie. What have I said? I even have a liner it talks about. People don't want people to open carry. What do you worry about that for? You see it. These hoodies, almost every crime report I read, the description is the person's wearing a hoodie. So if all you people that believe in corollary causes, you know, in other words, having a gun makes one a criminal who conducts gun violence, why don't we ban hoodies? Just make them illegal then. It's a correlation. Almost every crime report I read says that. That they're wearing a hoodie. That's the description. Weird. That was a weird deal, though, at the airport. Wounded Texas cop engaged suspect after being shot 3 times. I don't know if you heard this story out of, Southeast Texas and Missouri City over the weekend, but an absolutely beautiful police officer. She's just a beautiful woman. Officer, I just couldn't help saying it, looking at her picture and her smile. Officer Crystal Sepulveda. The police chief there in Missouri City is calling her a benevolent warrior. You know, what happened was she was wounded 3 gunshot wounds to her face, foot, and toe. The chief said she walked into a no-win situation with an armed carjacking suspect who was bent on harming a police officer, and by the grace of God, she did not succumb to the many gunshots she received from this guy. Police say 19-year-old Jeffrey Bundrent carjacked a vehicle on the north side of Harris County Saturday night. Sometime later, police found the car and this guy at a gas station in Missouri City, which is down southwest of Houston. They called for backup, followed him till he dumped the car in a neighborhood just inside the city limits. He ran through the backyard of the house. By the way, another example why you need to be armed. You can't lock it up. What if the guy just comes and busts right through? You don't even have the door locked and it's in your house. I mean, you got to have your firearm immediately. Anyway, so Officer Sepulveda entered the backyard to search for the suspect carjacker when he opened fire on her. Gun struck her three times. One bullet struck her face and her right cheek exited behind her ear. The other two shots hit her in the left calf and in a toe on her foot, left foot. The chief said she is an outstanding person, not just an outstanding officer. She's an amazing officer. She's a benevolent warrior. After she was struck, she did not stay down and lay there to die. She struggled back to get to her feet to try to complete the mission until she physically couldn't and the other officers got there. Suspect fled on foot, and some Houston PD officers and a DPS trooper and Fort Bend County Sheriff's officer pursued him, eventually got this guy. He fired on them. They caught up with him. He fired on them. They shot him, and he died. This 28-year-old police officer, Sepulveda, is a mother of a 4-year-old boy. She said she wants to get to work next week, but he said her injuries probably won't let her do that. I think you're seeing these comments after the Uvalde situation over and over. I mean, her actions were fabulous, but the wording and things being said, I've already run across a few other situations like this. I think law enforcement themselves are tremendously embarrassed to sit around and do nothing, whereas this young mother, 28 years old, can charge in and take care of business. And even when she came under fire, she didn't just go and seek cover. She kept going after the suspect. We wish her the best. I'm shooting it up. Man arrested after FBI spots Instagram threat to shoot up San Antonio College. No kidding. San Antonio man arrested after he put a photo on Instagram threatening to shoot up the big junior college there. Alamo College's district received word, the FBI, that this guy, his name, 20-year-old Pablo Medellin, posted photos of himself with assault rifle, shotgun, handgun, all kinds of stuff in front of the campus and saying he's going to shoot it up. Good thing they went. Somebody noticed that, turned it in, they arrested him. And a Baltimore chiropractor has been arrested in Fort Bend County. He met a child on an online video game. You parents that think this stuff is benign and don't know what they're doing, and they're going to tell me, 37-year-old comes all the way from Baltimore, Maryland to meet up with this child that he had groomed while and been charged now with sexual assault of a child. Been grooming them through these video games. Folks, today in Texas history, sponsored by our good friends at USA Investigations. If you have investigative needs, I mean anything from surveillance stuff, witness interviews to be done, statements to be taken, or maybe financial fraud, anything like that. The team is impressive. Learn all about them and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. They sponsor our look at Texas history. This was the date, supposedly, 26 July 1845, that the United States flag is said to have been raised on Texas for the first time. Over Texas, it was raised on St. Joseph Island, right there over by Aransas Pass. And it's a sand barrier out there in the barrier islands. And they were there under General Zachary Taylor to protect Texans from Mexican interference after the decision for annexation into the United States. I think that's the first time the flag was raised over Texas of the United States in that sense, as in a sense of sovereignty there. Also, this the date Texas Jack, the great frontier scout, actor, and cowboy, was born in 1846. And then a big day, it's the day 1863 that the great Sam Houston died. Of course, he opposed Texas secession from the Union. He knew what a mess that was going to be. Oh, by the way, it's the day that Charles Goodnight married his sweetheart, Mary Ann Molly Dyer. They met at Fort Belknap in 1864 and ended up moving into Paladura Canyon, setting up the great J.A. Ranch. She was known as the mother of the Panhandle. They had no children of their own, but she was the mother of the Panhandle to countless ranch hands. This was the day that they got married in 1870. All right, my friends, I am absolutely loaded up with other news. I don't know how I can handle my main story well enough to get it all in. I'm going to do my best in the next segments. A little quick Uvalde news. The school principal at that elementary school, Mandy Gutierrez, has now been suspended by the school board at the recommendation of the superintendent. And the school leaders canceled their special meeting for the weekend where they were going to consider firing Arredondo, the police chief. The lawyer asked for more time for some due process reasons. So they said, okay, we'll give you some more time. And that's the big Uvalde news. The principal now suspended, and pretty good reason if you read the report. I mean, if you read the report, nobody bothered following with any serious, well, not nobody, but administration didn't bother following their security protocols at all. They were aware of these locks not working, including on the classroom where the carnage happened. So that's the update there. Back in a moment.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com.
You are in the right place at the right time for news and commentary of Texas from the right perspective. It's Robert Pratt with the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I promised you some economic news very quickly. The Dallas Fed's out with the manufacturing report. Factory activity continued at a modest pace in July. But it's a mixed picture on everything in it. Perceptions of those conditions for those in the industry, the perception of conditions worsened. Prices and wages continued to increase, but a more moderate pace. Service sector growth held steady in July. There were mixed issues there, but a little better report there. But the expectations regarding future business activity were mixed, with some indicators pointing to more optimism, others negative. July for the report for retail, July retail sales activity continued its decline, and perceptions of the conditions remain negative. Retail price and wage pressures eased a bit, but people not thinking real well. So we're seeing all the signs that we see everywhere else in those Dallas Fed reports that were out today and yesterday. Let's move to our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our good friends at Allied Compliance Services, my friends. Corruption of medical science surges on. And this goes, I've got tons in here, but let me give you first, and I'm going to get back, so you'll hear it in this essay that was written yesterday by our good friend Bob Zimmerman, Robert Zimmerman at BehindTheBlack.com, noted historian, noted science writer. But I saw this piece out there. Judge Hidalgo, that's Harris County, and Mayor Turner, Houston, called growing number of monkeypox cases, quote, public health emergency for the Houston area. But, of course, even the story itself, the version I picked up at KPRC, said, just like Houston, Hidalgo said the community risk level for monkeypox cases is low. They don't want to tell you the truth about this, just like happened with AIDS. And it's awful. It's just awful what's going on, the way this is being played. And it is all part of one thing, and Zimmerman summed it up. The corruption of medical science surges on. Three stories this past week clearly illustrate what the field of medical science, based on the philosophy to always seek the truth no matter where it leads, is now teetering on the edge of death and might already have died. First, we have the revelation that a major 2006 paper on the roots of Alzheimer's disease is likely fraudulent, its results fabricated. Quote, the investigation uncovered evidence suggesting several instances of image manipulation in the work of Sylvain Lesnay, a researcher working at the University of Minnesota and an author of the 2006 study. The paper, which is cited by more than 2,200 academic papers as a reference, launched interest in a specific protein, it's a beta amyloid, I can't give you all the notation for that, as a promising target for early intervention in Alzheimer's disease. Whistleblower Matthew Schrag, a neuroscientist at Vanderbilt University, first flagged his concerns about the images to the NIH in January of this year. They asked two image analysis experts to review Lesnay's published work. They echoed Schrag's concerns. They identified a total of 20 suspect papers authored by Lesnay, 10 of which had to do with this protein per Science magazine. Bob says this discovery might also explain why there's been a 99% failure rate for all Alzheimer's drug trials. Most of that work was based on Lesnay's work, specifically on his paper that pointed to amyloids. One wonders how Lesnay's image fabrication was not noticed during peer review. Right? Peer review? One also wonders why no one ever tried to independently confirm his results, something that used to be a requirement before any new discovery was considered firm. Instead, his paper was accepted and the medical field immediately dedicated two decades and hundreds of millions of dollars of research based on his paper, and all worthless. This lack of scientific rigor smacks strongly of the lust for money rather than the seeking of truth as the fuel for all this Alzheimer's research. The paper gave scientists a result they could use to generate research grants. Who cares if the paper wasn't confirmed and could be wrong? Next, we move to the unilateral decision by Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, the director of WHO, whatever his name is, the director of World Health Organization, to declare the recent relatively insignificant outbreak of monkeypox a, quote, global emergency, overruling the very World Health Organization committee of scientists who voted 2-1. Listen to this, folks. They voted 9-6 against such a declaration. Quote, we have an outbreak that has spread around the world rapidly through new modes of transmission. That's a key thing to emphasize from the quote. Through new modes of transmission, about which we understand too little, pointing out that cases are increasingly occurring in countries where it's traditionally not found, as well as the growing risk to human health. Tedros asked that, for all these reasons, I have decided that the global monkeypox outbreak represents a public health emergency of international concern. Bob says this declaration was made even more through the very health officials with whom WHO, WHO is supposed to rely said it was a bad idea. Yeah, even though they said it was a bad idea. Moreover, the highlighted language above, the part about new modes of transmission, is wrong. It's not spreading through new modes of transmission. New peer review research unequivocally confirms it remains a sexually transmitted disease almost exclusively limited to the homosexual community, a fact that's been known for years. Finally, monkeypox has been and continues to be almost never lethal and is very treatable. There's no reason to declare an emergency at all. This declaration has little legal enforcement power. It's without doubt aimed at conjuring up another panic that health officials and politicians worldwide can use for their own gain. In reporting this story, the medical press let the cat out of the bag. Quote, This declaration of a global health emergency will probably not lead to much change in control activities in the most affected countries outside of Africa. However, it may stimulate those countries that have seen few cases so far to ensure their health systems are better able to manage if the infection does spread within their communities. Hopefully, it may also stimulate funding for research and improvements in the capacity in endemic countries to manage the disease. Bob says, like the misguided and disastrous response to the Wuhan flu, this monkeypox declaration is not intended to encourage a proper response to the disease, but to instill a panic that might generate more funds and power to the medical community. Once again, the lust for money rather than seeking truth is fueling the policies of the scientific community. Finally, we have this ridiculous story, and of all places, the journal Science. Quote, as Omicron rages on, scientists have no idea what comes next, end quote. The emphasis on the word rages is mine. It illustrates, this is Bob writing, it illustrates in one word the article's mindless devotion to panic, emotion, and anxiety about the numerous new strains of COVID as well as the dominance of Omicron since 2021. This quote's typical. Even if Omicron's not replaced, its dominance is no cause for complacency, says this Maria Van Kerkhove, technical lead for COVID-19 at the WHO. It's bad enough as it is. If we can't get people to act without a new Greek name, that's a problem. Even with Omicron, Van Kerkhove emphasizes the world may face continuing waves of disease as immunity wanes and fresh subvariants arise. She's also alarmed at the surveillance efforts that allowed researchers to spot Omicron and new variants earlier, scaling back or winding down. Nowhere in the article is it mentioned why the surveillance efforts are being dismantled and are winding down. The new strains of COVID are almost completely harmless, the equivalent of a cold for most everyone. It can't even do serious harm to Joe Biden, a 79-year-old whose health is hardly robust. Thus, there is no reason to panic, no reason to impose heavy surveillance of the infected population, no reason to spend gobs of money aggressively researching these strains. COVID has evolved like all previous new flu strains, becoming nothing more than a cold. Well, in most cases, just like the flu still can cause people to die. But right now, the general response from doctors should be to take 2 aspirin and drink a lot of water. That's Bob saying it. But the journal Science sees no reason to mention this fundamental fact that Omicron and the new strains are relatively harmless. Instead, they publish a screed designed to instill fear as Omicron rages in order to lobby for more funding. And that's what it's about. Back in a moment.
Brad on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Your Edward Jones financial advisor, Mark Miller, can help you build a strategy to help your finances keep up with your needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Stop by Mark Miller's office at 3849 Oldham Lane in Abilene. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
You gotta stop by before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Gafford Pest Control is the Lubbock area leader using state-of-the-art technology to keep our homes, businesses, hospitals, and schools safe and clean. Gafford Pest Control is hiring. If you want to join the team of a stable, local leader, don't wait. Contact Gafford Pest Control today. Gafford is hiring. Contact Gafford Pest Control now.
Gafford Pest Control.
At Thacker, every piece of jewelry represents a moment in time worth celebrating.
But when the jewelry leaves our store, that's when the real story begins. Her engagement ring will tell the story of the loving relationship that you share.
Your wedding band tells the story of the perfect day when you two came together. I'm blessed to be in a business where every piece of jewelry that leaves our store goes on to tell a beautiful story. We hope you'll start your story with Thacker's.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I want to give you Zimmerman's summary take on this. He says this pattern about money instead of truth first began to appear in the climate field in the 1990s when pursuing reliable data became less important than proclaiming disaster through unproven models. Such proclamations served the needs of both politicians and government scientists who used the manufactured crisis to garner power and funding, even though the science itself remained and still remains incredibly uncertain. This pattern is now spread through many fields of science. The three stories above that I just gave you in the last segment illustrate starkly how it controls the medical field. The seeking of truth was the foundation of Western civilization since the Enlightenment. It was what made the world of scientists so deeply trusted. You knew they were trying to tell you the truth. No more. That truth is gone. Scientists today too often lie, as illustrated by these stories. And notice Burke or whatever out telling everybody now that they knew they were making it up on the COVID stuff early on and the number of days and the lockdowns and all of that. Have y'all seen that? For ordinary citizens desiring honest, objective medical treatment, this corruption bodes very badly for the future. How can you trust your doctor if you know that his entire field now puts fundraising and the wielding of power above obtaining honest and trustworthy results? You can't, and until the medical community itself takes action to clean up its act, things will only get worse. Well, he's right. You know, I went and looked up this latest studies on monkeypox. I'd already read that some people had lost their, had their videos taken down, even not just YouTube, but Vimeo and other sources, because they mentioned that the monkeypox thing is being overstated and for pointing out that it is primarily a homosexual activity spread disease. See, you can't say that anymore because we're supposed to say that, you know, you just can't allow that. Well, I went and looked at the New England Journal of Medicine study and didn't just rely on the press report of it. I think the Epoch Times did cover it, and this New England Journal of Medicine study on Thursday, peer-reviewed stuff, looked at monkeypox infection from across 16 countries between April and June as it, you know, began to emerge more outside of Africa. And it's very clear what they said in this, that 98% were in homosexual or bisexual. That's still homosexual. You're engaging in homosexuality. They say gay here or bisexual. It's homosexual or bisexual men with median age of 38. Of those cases, 95% of the infections were suspected to have been transmitted through sexual activity. 41% also had HIV. And they point out the CDC, they don't consider it a sexually transmitted disease because it can be spread by close contact. But we're talking very close contact. I went and read that study. There's a lot more to this. It's very treatable. It clears up in a couple of weeks without need for medical treatment at all. So it's no emergency. There are a few people who had really bad reaction and they can have injury to that. And then they just go to hospital to get treated. But it's very interesting. The only thing about heterosexuals in this stuff is they say that sex between these so-called bisexuals, where they go, they can spread it to somebody. But 98% of the cases were from this kind of stuff. And they say this all seems to correspond with all these pride events. That's right. Most cases appear to be in North America and Western Europe, where some of the first cases were linked, specifically linked by public health officials to homosexual events in Spain and Belgium. And then all these pride events, the uptick at the recent U.S. cases said the transmission occurred at the tail end of Pride Month in late June and early July, based on the study finding that incubations between 3 and 20 days, usually 7. Dr. Paul Alexander, a former Trump administration health official, said all this needed was leadership saying no skin-to-skin contact, no anal sex, no sex, none for the few weeks, and we would have helped this high-risk group. But no, it's political games, and now the low-risk general heterosexual population has some risk, especially from bisexual males. But they're trying to shut this down everywhere that you can even talk about it. And that's part of this complete political agenda now that's being embraced, it seems, by the so-called science communities that Zimmerman's talking about. And scaring people. There's people out there scared. Oh, monkeypox is scared. They don't even know what it is. And no mention of the homosexual stuff in the press conferences in Houston. No. It's another. I told you once we allowed this, whether it's a governor or anybody else, this declaring emergency stuff, it's just going to constantly be abused. That's why the World Health Organization head guy declared it an emergency. Notice the WHO panel of scientists that are supposed to make these decisions voted 9-6 against declaring it a public emergency, a world health emergency. And yet the head guy goes out and does it anyway. Folks, they get addicted to the limelight, to being in the media worldwide every day. It's a big rush for them. Now, there's big news out of Houston. Dr. Mary Bowden has filed now a lawsuit, against a $25 million lawsuit against Houston Methodist Hospital. That's right. And remember, they're the ones that suspended her admitting privileges simply because she was treating COVID patients in a way that works. She's an ENT specialist, went to University of Texas and Stanford Medical Schools. She said, 8 months ago, I received, by the way, Holly Hansen at thetexan.news has the best write-up on this. I mean, the best write-up. There are several out this afternoon. She said, 8 months ago, I received probably one of the most startling text messages I ever received in my life. And it was a reporter from the Houston Chronicle asking me to confirm, is it true your privileges has been suspended from Houston Methodist? See, you get it. This stuff went, they went to the media with this, somebody did, before they even bothered to talk to the doctor with whom they were dealing with. So you can certainly be assured there was no due process of even a phone call saying, hey, this is the situation. What do you think about it? Should we? I mean, they went to the media. She found out from the Houston Chronicle reporter. She advocated, of course, publicly, early COVID-19 treatments, which do work, and she's had over 4,000 patients. It's been very successful. She has filed against the CEO, Dr. Mark Boom, B-O-O-M, because he's made all kinds of statements about her claiming she did things that she's saying that didn't even happen. And this is a big lawsuit. She says in her deal that the head of Houston Hospital statements were materially false about all kinds of things, and pointing out she's kept over 4,000 patients out of the hospital and no one who's received early treatment under her care has died. She's had no serious adverse reactions from using ivermectin either. And Houston Methodist hasn't had anything to say about the suit yet, but she points out, my name's been permanently altered around the world, and that's in my profession. Would you go to a doctor if you Googled her name and it said dangerous? Because that's what they did all over. And they've tried to ruin this woman. And so she has filed a big lawsuit against Houston Methodist Hospital. I hope she wins every penny of it. It'll all end up, who knows what'll happen with it. But these doctors that have been harassed by their own profession, the businesses themselves, and the regulatory bodies for simply trying to care for people. And by the way, giving care that without any question whatsoever works. I know many, many people, including myself, and it worked very, very well. The problem, I think, with all of this goes back to, besides the fact that hospitals are getting paid a hell of a lot of money by the federal government, extra stipends for COVID patients. Oh, that's not going to cause any corruption anywhere, is it? No. You shore up the bottom lines with that money. How dare we have a doctor keeping people out? But Bob Zimmerman's piece, the reason I wanted to share it all with you is this is right. It's the corruption. It's another branch of what was the Enlightenment of science, the scientific method. Look at this. I mean, this Alzheimer's story is one of the great, it's one of the giant stories. It may have cost, you know, who knows how many lives and how many billions of dollars in research. And it appears that the base paper everybody looked at was fake. Medical science has fallen into this corruption that climate science has fallen into. And that's politics and not the scientific method. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.